You're listening to audio from The Village Church, a community that's formed by the gospel and sent on God's mission, gathering weekly in the heart of downtown Hamilton, Ohio. For more information about The Village or to connect with us, you can find us online at myvillagechurch.com.
Family reunions. I imagine that's something that gets better with age. There are some things I think that you kind of just can't really embrace in your youth, and I'm pretty sure that you just kind of can't appreciate family reunions in your youth. I've been to my fair share. My wife's grandma has like 13 siblings, and so occasionally we get all those people together. My mom's family is from Indiana. My dad's roots are from like the hills of Tennessee. So every few years we go down there and we celebrate, and they're like in some gospel quartets, and so it's been like some real fun over the years, right? And a couple questions I ask when I first get there, I remember being a kid, and like the obvious question is like, where's the food? You know it will be good. They're from the South, and so that's like a treat. But then the second question is like, where is a guitar that I can play or a ball that I can throw? And that's kind of what I thought about family reunions for a long, long time. Recently, my dad, he has been kind of digging up like our roots and the Graham family roots. And so not like spit in a cup and send it off to some company that allows the FBI to track you, but but like for real, like talking to people with like real photos, and he has like our lineage all the way back, like the Grahams and the Martins and then the splits from those all the way back to when George Washington was president. And a lot of those, he has the entire family tree and all the siblings, and a lot of those, he has pictures. And so it's been kind of cool to just look at those. Like, I found out I have a family member named Dallas, but also one named Houston, all right? Kind of cool. In those photos, you see men with big beards, right? The Graham clan from Scotland. And then you see people with men with no beards. And like, I draw the line, you can tell, right there. Genetically between the two. You see that your grandparents and your great-grandparents, they were actually like teenagers once, and I know that's a shock. Like, and you just kind of think, wow, like, man, it wasn't always like it is now or whatever, and you just can't imagine the diversity. There are men with sombreros, which kind of caught us off guard a little bit, and then there are literally like Native American people, and we kind of like look and we're like, gosh, that makes a little bit of sense as we look at, you know, our grandparents and so on. There are ranchers, and it's just surprisingly diverse. But as we get older, we begin to see all that's gone before us, and it begins to make a little more sense, or maybe have a little more meaning, and we're aware that there will be like much more that goes on after us. And so maybe those moments of kind of all being together, they take on a different meaning, like the things that we interact with are bigger than just me, and they're bigger than just now. And I imagine if we look forward to the greatest family reunion of all time, when all who are in Christ, by faith alone, through the grace that he offers us, I imagine that when we all come together under Christ's eternal rule, we will be surprised at the diversity. I imagine that it will look a little different than we think. And since we have perfect eyes and since we have perfect ears to see and hear, we will see ourselves. We will see all before us. We will see all that have come after us. And we will see what a great God that we get to live in light of. And we will get to see what a beautiful people that we get to call our eternal family, filled with diversity of the ages and of language and of culture. And this is what, like, the timeline that we engage in as humans, it's what it's whirling towards. And it's what all of the redemptive history that we see God's work to call a people to himself, all of that is whirling towards this end. And we get to join the means to see that picture through. The ultimate future for all of God's people is living face to face with God and celebrating him with all of his people from everywhere and every when forever. That's what we get to do. We see a picture of this. And I just want us, literally, for just a few minutes, to cast our gaze at what that might be like. And then we're going to work backwards and see what part we have to play in the meantime. So in Revelation 7, 9 through 12, I'm going to read this. We're going to pull a couple things out just super quick. We get to kind of see a picture of this family reunion. Revelation chapter 7, verse 9. After this, and this is John the Revelator, God gave him a vision of kind of this future reality, and he writes it down. After this, I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands and crying out, with a loud voice, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. And all the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell on their faces before the throne and they worshiped God, saying, amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen. That's what we get to be a part of. And I think about all of the beauty in this life, all of those things that just kind of to bring just glimpses of God's grace to our life. All of the things that we get to see and we get to experience, all the things that fall short of this but point us to this kind of glimpses of beauty and glimpses of grace, king's palaces that even through the ages have just like, the majesty and the glory of ruling kings, and we get to see cinematic masterpieces that drive our emotions. And in the most, for me, like the most driving chorus on a summer day with the windows down and you're singing along and you probably look like an idiot, right? But it feels really good and you just don't even care, right? Messy hair, don't care, right? And so like that just driving beat or the most epic kind of sports moments that just kind of capture our hearts and where we get to see comebacks and we get to see justice enacted on a basketball court or all of these things, when we get to see beautiful architecture and we get to understand that comes from math and creativity of image bearers of God's, or when we get to see landscapes and we get our eyes get to behold God's glory or the tastiest food you've ever enjoyed or friendships and community and relationships that just make us better humans, that capture our hearts. All of those things are great, but they're not ultimate. And all of those things get to capture our hearts with glimpses that pale in comparison to this glory that we get to live in forever. So I just want to answer a few questions from this text, three kind of observations that inform how we live, and then we'll draw some conclusions. The first one is this: who is in this scene? Who's here? The second one is where is this scene? And the third one is what are they doing? So the first one, who is here? Well, the writer tells us there is a great multitude, uncountable people. Who's here? Uncountable people from every nation, from every tribe, from every people, from every language, from every time, from everyone who's ever lived. God's redeemed from everywhere and every when. And all the greats that we get to read about who stumbled into faith that God saved them and rescued them in the scriptures, and all those that you've never read about, all those that live parallel to these people and parallel to us that we just never know about, that faithfully trust Jesus, that faithfully walk with him, those whom we've considered and those that we've never considering. And then we see all of the angels and heavenly hosts. So we see both earthly beings and heavenly hosts. This future is for God's people. And there's only one door in to this scene, and that's to trust Jesus alone. Right? And we get caught up in lots of other things. And I know we say this every time we gather together. And here's what I want the posture of our hearts. Doesn't it get better every time we hear it? Right? That us being separated by our sin. That's what we contribute to our relationship with God. But God being rich in mercy, he sent his son. And his son, Jesus, he lived in the flesh as God and man. And he lived a perfect life, perfectly obedient in every single way to the Father. He only did the will of his Father while he was on this earth. And at the end of his life, he took on all of the sin of God's redeemed. He became a sinner, not by action, but by identity. He took on our sin, right? And he did that so that all who trust in him might have their sin taken from us, that we might wear these white robes that we read about in this text. So Jesus, he took on our sin and he died, and he didn't just die for fun, but he died to absorb the full wrath of God against the wickedness and the rebellion of man. And he didn't just die, but he was buried. He was dead, and he took our sin and he took it away. And 3 days later, he busted out of the grave and he lived. And he died so that we might trust in him for our forgiveness, and he lived so that we might trust in him for our righteousness. And he ascended into the heavens to rule and reign. All right? We get to walk in light of that. And all who trust in that, man, for the forgiveness of our own sin, that we come to God and we say, we are but beggars. God, but you being rich in mercy. Right? That's who's here. And then by subtraction, then who isn't here? All who reject that reality. That's who's not in this scene. All who reject that reality are condemned in your sin, and there is no hope. The ultimate future for all of God's people is living face to face with God and celebrating him with all of his people from everywhere and every when forever. That's who's there. Where is there? Where is this scene? Well, based on these just few verses, what we can glean is that we are before the throne of God. He tells us that 3 times in just 3 verses, that we are before the throne of God, before the Lamb. And so, kind of like maybe by illustration, if the kingdom of God has a local office that everything acts out of, then we're in the Oval Office of the kingdom of God. We're before the king. We're in the capital city, right? And the win is not that everything's fine. The win is that we get to see fear from our sin or the fear of our failures. It's all evaporated by the complete love and the assurance of Christ's righteousness, that his blood lets us stand in white robes righteous before God. We see a few chapters later in Revelation 21 that the new heavens and the new earth descend upon this one, and this one is no more. And the new one replaces this one, and the sea is no more, and there are no more tears, and there's no more suffering, there's no more sin. It will be incredible, the likes of which we can't imagine. A world that's not tainted by sin and sin's contribution. We can't fathom it, but it's really important that we make this distinction. It's significant for us today that we're not there yet. And so when we experience the brokenness of this life, we say, gosh, this shouldn't be this way. This is not the way things ought to be. And you are exactly right. It's not the way things ought to be, because sin broke everything. But one day it will be as things ought to be. And so we get to live in light of this future hope. The ultimate future for all of God's people is living face to face with God and celebrating him with all of his people from everywhere, from every when, forever. But what are they doing in this scene? They worship God. It says in these few verses that they wear white robes, right, representing their righteousness. And we know the Bible says we have no righteousness in our own hands. That's purely a gift from God's grace through Jesus for all who trust in him. They're waving palm branches like we read about in the scriptures, representing the royalty and these celebrations that they did. They're crying out loudly, salvation is from God, and they fall on their faces, and they cry out with blessings and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might. And so you might be drawn to a scene that looks like this. a worship gathering. And you might say, well, that's eternal life, that we sit here and we stand up and we sing and we probably sit down and have a reading and stand up, and we sing, and you're like, wow, that's okay, like, that's cool. But here's the thing. Worship is so much bigger. You guys know this. Worship is so much bigger than a time slot in the week. I remember, I shared this story some time ago, but I remember the most worshipful time, I think, in my life. I was mowing the grass, right, in my tiny little yard, and my kids were probably 2 and 3, maybe 1 and 2, or somewhere in between, and they, like, they were looking out the window, like, just barely, you know, big enough to see out the window, and they were, like, excited, and I would come towards them, you know, the little push mower, and walk away, and then turn around, and they would, like, hear the mower, like, just bouncy. They couldn't even contain themselves. Every time I would come real close, and then, you know, and then they're just, like, they just can't even take it. And then I would turn away, and they just waited for me to come back. And, like, I remember, no joke, what a dad, like weeping, because I'm like, dude, like, I'm the dad. Like, they seem happy to see me, but, like, trust me, like, if I could act like that big of an idiot right now mowing the grass, I would, you know? All they wanted was to be near to their dad. And I'm telling you what, the win of heaven is that we get to be near to our dad. Right? That's the prize. Right, we sing the song, the nearness of you is our only hope. The nearness of him is our, it's our only hope. It's our eternal rest. And so the absolute beauty of all of this is that this is what we were made to do. This in this picture. And, like, you know, this isn't a sermon about heaven, but we get to interact in ways that probably don't look just like standing up and sitting down. And we get to live a little, and we get to be near to God, and we get to walk in purity with God's people forever. We were made to do this, and we know Pastor John Piper says famously, God is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied with him. So we get to live for his glory, but not just some far-off hope. We get to do that now as God's church. So this is a picture of the end that we work towards. And because this is an end that we work towards, we, God's church, have a significant part to play in prepping for this eternal party, this eternal family reunion. And we consider how we use all that God has given us, our gifts, our time, individually, our talent, our relationships, our stuff, our home, our car, all that God's given us. It changes the way that we use those things. Individually, as God's redeemed, but also collectively, as God's redeemed, as a community, as the church. It changes the way that we use all that God has given us together. Well, so what? So what does any of that mean? See, Jesus, he didn't save us to invite us into waiting. He didn't save us just so that we can, like, be comfortable as we go on to the next life. He didn't do that. He saved us to invite us in. He saved us to bring us into the mission. We are saved by this mission marching forward. For this mission marching forward, we get to be brought in. How do we get there? How do we invite others to join us in this eternal family reunion? Like, it's super simple. We do what Mark says. He says, go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. That's how. That's how we do it. God's people rejoicing in and boldly proclaiming this good news to all who would hear with creativity and with love and with strategy and resource and energy and sacrifice, joyfully believing and boldly building this kingdom. So what's the plan? How do we as the Village Church do that? Well, two things. One, we be the church here and now. right? It would be silly to go to the ends of the earth to be the church if we're not being the church in our own city. But in its essence, God is not calling you to global missions if you are not a missionary on your street. You tracking? But at the same time, we get to be brought in to expand our perspective, to expand our influence wherever God would allow. So, some recent action around that. In the last, 18 months, we've been kicking a lot of this stuff around, and some of you have been a part of that. We had a few global partnerships, but what those largely looked like were me having a Skype call once a month with somebody, which is super great, all right? And I grew a ton from that. You guys grew a ton from that. They grew a ton from that. But it's not very helpful in terms of like a partnership. And so we kind of deconstructed those, and we said, what does it look like moving forward for us to go far and wide, for us to be faithful to the text that says, man, with the resource that we've been giving us, be the church here, but also go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. So we sent out some feelers, all right? I sent out some feelers. You know that we're about church planting, and you know that Acts 29 is a diverse global family of church planting churches. So I sent something to the Latin America director, and he said, well, why don't you connect with this guy? His name's Mitch. He's in Guatemala. And so, okay, so I did, all right? And we talked for a while. And turns out Mitch and Amanda had moved from the States like 7 years ago. And great story, don't have time for it, but basically they just showed up in Guatemala and they're like, what next, you know? And so they got connected to this rural village called Los Chilitos outside of Guatemala City. And I mean, like rural, it's pretty rural, right? Not like you're thinking like, oh, a quaint farmhouse. It's not quite like that, right? Farmhouse, yes, if you mean walking around, but a little different than maybe we're used to. So we connected with them, and then we went there. Pastor Matt and I went there, and we hung out. And we were exploring two relationships. One of those was Casa de Libertad at Los Chilitos, Mitch and Amanda. And what we did when we were there is we met them. We saw what they did. We saw where their church gathers out in the middle of nowhere. We saw and literally tell our story and through translators share the gospel with people that had never heard the gospel. And so the beauty is they're just figuring out what stuff looks like. They're a tiny little church in the middle of nowhere, kind of like us, but a little tinier and a little more nowhere, right? And so it was a really sweet time for us to get to interact with them. We went there, and we want you to go there as well, all right? And so we're figuring out what that looks like. The second half of our partnership was with an organization called Lemonade International. You're going to hear more about that in just a few minutes. But what I want to do right now is I want to show you a video that kind of just helps set the scene maybe for that rural church plant in Los Chilitos. Then Matt's going to come up. You're going to hear a little bit from Chow about the other experience that we had while we were down there. And then I'll come back up in a few minutes and close this thing out. Thank you.
Thanks for watching that short clip. As Michael talked and as you got to see just some faces, the place, I hope that stirs something within you, whether you get to go or whether you get to support or pray. Man, we are excited about these opportunities. And so I get to introduce Chow Knox. Chow, you want to come up here for a second? Michael and I, for the second half of our trip, got to spend time with this guy. We're grateful for him. Chow is the executive director of Lemonade International in the States. He does go over there as well and do a lot. And so we're thankful for him. He is just a great guy. We got to literally know him and spend like hours just hanging out and talking. And it was just very genuine, very real. We got to hear his heart. And we're thankful that we just don't have to say, hey, this is what it's like. But one from the organization gets to say, this is what we're doing. This is what we're excited about. And so I'm going to pray for him. And then he's going to share a little bit about what he's doing. God, thank you for your goodness to us. God, thanks for Chow. Thanks for the ministry he gets to serve and be a part of. Thanks for what Michael and I got to see. And God, I pray that as our church is invited into these opportunities, that you would give us humility, that we would know that you sought after us and you call us to seek out those who are lost, to serve, to give, to support, to go. God, thanks for Chow. I pray that you would encourage him, that you would give him the words to say, that he would know that we are for him and excited for what he's going to share. And we pray this in your good name. Amen. Thanks, Chow.
Thanks, Matt. Hey, it's good to be with you guys this morning. God is doing something here. This is a good place to be on Sunday morning. You know, it's interesting. As we see God doing things, we also see the enemy attacking, making it hard to follow God. Galatians 2:20 says, "For I've been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I that live, but Christ that lives in me." And it's a part of our, I think, our spiritual growth for all of us to go through mountaintops and then valleys. And La Limonada is really one of those valleys. It is a place where God is at work. The first time I got to go to La Limonada, which is in the heart of Guatemala City, I was riding the lemonade van. And as we went into La Limonada, I wasn't looking outside, but I felt something around me change. I wasn't even looking outside, but there was just something different about the environment. I don't know if you ever had an experience like that, but the only thing I could define it is spiritual oppression. Like I could feel the spiritual temperature change around me as we drove into La Limonada. It's an area of abject poverty. It's urban, so it's an urban slum. So houses are really tight together. People live on top of each other, but just deep, deep poverty, severe hopelessness. La Limonada means lemonade. The people that live there named it that. They said that we're like lemons. We're tough but sweet. And so they're sweet on the outside, like to foreigners when you visit. They invite you to their homes, and they're really, really kind. But on the inside, they got a lot of issues. They're almost sour and tough, especially towards each other. La Limonada is the home to 60 to 100,000 people living in about a mile-long ravine. It's the largest urban slum in Central America. Again, in the heart of Guatemala City, just down from the National Soccer Stadium. And in this community, in this ravine, live 40,000 children. As Michael and Matt said, my name is Chow. It's C-H-A-L. It's short for Charles. It's not like the way you spell for food, Chow, or adios, Chow. It's C-H-A-L. I'm the executive director of Lemonade. Lemonade International exists to stand in solidarity with the local leadership of Vidas Plenas. So we have a one-to-one partnership with the ministry in Guatemala. And the team of Vidas Plenas is breaking the cycles of poverty and gang violence and injustice through education, gang prevention, and community relief for the people of La Limonada in Guatemala City. They are sharing Christ. They are discipling. They are teaching the power and the word of God to children and to families. And the woman that started this ministry about 25 years ago is named Tita Everetts. Tita's Guatemalan. And God called her 25 years ago to take rice and beans into this community. And basically to visit door to door and to encourage people. Tita has started a church. She has mentored people. She has started a safe home for kids and women. And as she did all this, she realized by the time a child in La Limonada is 4 years old, they have already woken up to the reality of hopelessness. So by the time they're four, they've decided, I have no hope in my life. The only way to have any meaning is to get involved in a gang. The only way to take care of my family and protect us is to get involved in gang life. So Tita realized that working with adults and working with youth was almost too late. So she began working with kids from the age of 4. So she and the ministry address violence and poverty with prevention through the academies. There's 4 academies. These academies have about 150 kids each, and they serve as beacons of light and hope to the children and the families of La Limonada in the midst of a really severe spiritual darkness. The first academy that we started was the Limon Academy. I think there's a picture of the Limon Academy here. It is green, and it is named Limon for the name in Spanish, which means lime. So each of the academies are connected with a citrus fruit name, again, going with the lemonade, limonada feel. It was built in 2000, and it's now one of the safest places in La Limonada. This is an area of safety, of light, of love, of care, and support due to the trust that we've been able to build there through the ministry that we've done. Each of the academies is about 2 or 3 stories tall, and again, they can take up to about 150 kids, basically elementary school age, kind of 4 or 5 the whole way up to about 10 or 12. In these academies, kids receive a hot, nutritious meal. They receive vitamins. We teach them about personal hygiene. A lot of the homes in La Limonada don't have running water or electricity, and so kids don't brush their teeth. They don't wash their hands. Just these simple things that we take for granted anywhere we go in Ohio, these kids don't have access to. And so they get that in the academies. Not only do they get the meal and the vitamin and the hygiene, but also academic and spiritual formation. So that the teachers share Christ with them, they pray with them, they read the Bible with them. If you ever read through the Old Testament, try to pronounce some of those names, this is some of the content they get for their literature lessons. So they learn right from the Bible about how to read. But the most important thing they get is love. We love on them, we encourage them, we care for them, we teach them about God's love for them and his redemptive plan for their lives. Tita's story and her work in La Limonada really mirrors God's story in the Bible. And I love what Michael shared from Revelation and from Mark this morning about how God can take our brokenness and our confusion and our sin and our darkness and our division and make that beautiful and redeem that into an amazing, eternal community. That's really what God is doing in La Limonada. He's moving families from brokenness to redemption and community. And I just want to share a couple sort of stories about these families that we've been working with and kind of illustrate some of what God is doing. So first I'd like to share the story of Candy. Candy and Michael and Matt and I got to go on this trip. This is actually one of the academies that we work with. And these teachers go and actually visit the kids during their lunch break. They don't really get a lunch break. They go to homes and visit during the week. But they took us to visit Candy, one of the kids in La Limonada. Got to meet her sister, her mother, her father. And we got to hear about the challenges they faced living in La Limonada. It was a humble house. Cinder block walls, holes in the walls for windows, pieces of sheet metal for a roof. And this is like just a couple minutes away from Starbucks and O'Charlie's and Applebee's is where this slum is. So they're close to what we consider modern living, yet they probably don't even have running water and electricity in their home. They had one room in their house was for basically living. Their family lived there. They ate there. They cooked there. And then another room in their house was for sleeping with maybe a mattress or two for all the parents and 3 kids to go to sleep on. But they talked about the difference the academies have made in their lives, how they're attending church, they're growing spiritually. They even showed us a Bible that they're reading regularly. When we asked them how we could pray for them, with all the violence and poverty that surrounds them, it would have made sense for them to give us a long list of prayer requests. But Candy's dad simply said, could you pray for more jobs to be available? If God would just provide more jobs for Guatemala, then we could work. So he wasn't looking for a handout. He actually wanted to be more productive with his life. It was especially funny, you can see this picture. Her Candy's father is only about half as tall as Matt. So Matt was like, he was like a giant in this house. It was awesome. He had to kind of bend over just to fit in the picture. And what was actually most special for me was this was the first time I got to meet Candy's family, because my wife, we got to spend time getting to meet her family, and actually we sponsor her. So we pray for her. We have her picture up on our refrigerator, and we're able to support them monthly. In addition to the help that kids and families receive from the academies, we also have a commitment to help them to grow spiritually. And so the next person I'd like to speak about is Julio. Michael and Matt and I got to connect with Julio, got to take him to dinner and spend time with him. He's a deep and committed man who pastors a small church on the weekends, and he raises a family, and he's a full-time chaplain during the week for our four academies. So he serves the staff of over 50 of Vitas Plenas, more than 500 kids and youth, and he helps them with devotional content, makes sure that teachers are teaching sound theology to the kids, helps the teachers learn how to not just share the gospel with their kids, but teach their kids, their students, how to share the gospel with their families. As you can imagine, he's got a lot on his plate. He's tired. He's got a wife and a little kid at home. But he's filled with such passion to serve God, his community, and to serve the kids and their teachers with sound theology and practical applications of the Bible. You can see in this picture, we actually have a parenting class once a month. The parents don't have to pay a dime for their kids to come to the academies, but we do require once a month for the parents to come to a class. And he's speaking about the difference between what the world teaches us in terms of an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth and revenge. Again, you can imagine in a community of gang violence, like revenge is a big thing, bitterness is a big thing. And he was teaching them about the power of forgiveness in his parenting class. Finally, I'd like to share with you about Yoli. I've never met anyone who walks as far or as fast as Yoli does every single day. She wakes up before 5 a.m., and she has a young woman that lives with her named Dulce, so she prepares breakfast for her. The reason Dulce lives with her is because Dulce is blind, or she's going blind. And Dulce is a high school student, and she only has a grandmother that kind of takes care of her, kind of doesn't. So Dulce lives with Yoli, and Yoli makes breakfast for her. In the mornings, Yoli makes her breakfast and then walks her about 20 blocks to get to her Braille school where she's learning how to read Braille. And then Dulce comes back and actually starts her day. When she returns, she covers dozens of miles every single day. She delivers uniforms, makes sure students have their school books because high school and college is not free in Guatemala. And she works with nearly 200 scholars that attend about 20 different schools. So once a student goes through our academy, then they're able to pick where they want to go to high school and to college based on the trade that they want to pursue. And Yoli oversees all those students. So she walks every day to visit these schools. Then when she returns home, she spends her afternoons and evenings making phone calls and communicating with students and schools and parents, making sure that bills are paid, making sure their grades are high, because we don't want to have students involved in school if they're not getting the good grades that they should be getting. And so she really makes sure that they're developing academically as well as spiritually, making sure that students and families stay on track. So God is really at work in some amazing ways in La Limonada, shining his light and moving families from brokenness to community, to health, to redemption, and to salvation. And I believe, honestly, God is probably doing the same thing in Hamilton, Ohio. So if God is calling you to invest in a local school or to invest in your community right here, then follow God and don't listen to the rest of the things that I'm going to say here in the next few minutes, because I don't want to take you away from that. But if God's calling you to do something globally, then I definitely want to invite you to get involved in that. God wants to give us a heart for the poor and the broken and those who are different from us, right here in Hamilton, as well as around the world. These people are treasures. They're valuable in God's sight, and he is bringing them into our lives because he wants us to value his work in them too. They're an important part of our community. So I'd like to show you a little video here just to give you another perspective, an inside look in what God is doing in La Limonada in Guatemala.
Jesus says that we're gonna always have the poor, and sometimes I like to think why he says that, because for me the poor is a seasoning in the world that gives a special flavor, because I have found so much beauty here. It seems like behind that pain, to face it and take the time to just be present, I have found treasures, just beauty.
Of the people of La Limonada to the people of the United States, we see ourselves as a support structure for Vidas Plenas and the ministry and the organization that Tita leads. We hold them up through financial support and administrative support so that they can do the work that they're called to. When someone enters La Limonada for the first time, there's so much to take in. Your senses are overwhelmed. The sights, the sounds, and the smells of a community of 60,000 plus people who are living in a ravine that runs through the middle of Guatemala City.
We start working with the gangs and the thieves, and it was tough and hard work, and with the kids to prevent them. I want to fight to protect the children, to maintain the pureness and the innocence the children have. So our focus is prevention. That's why we have the academies. But to be present in the community.
When they see Tita coming down, people come and gather around her, and they smile, and they look happy, and they call her to their homes. People feel, I think, relieved. There are no words, no actions, no psychology. Anything is gonna heal them and help them and make them feel well. But love, everything we do, if we don't love them, it's not gonna work.
One of the things that I think is really unique about Lemonade International is that we are focused in one community in the world. And we empower local leaders who work in solidarity with the people of La Limonada.
Being in the way, so I know the need is today, and if I come tomorrow, maybe the person is not gonna be there anymore. If we don't prevent somebody today, tomorrow is gonna be raped. The need is today and is right now.
Tita and the leaders in La Limonada are doing amazing work. We joyfully invite you to partner with us in supporting them to change the lives of the people of La Limonada.
So Tita said the need is today, the need is now. It is a violent community, and there are deaths happening regularly. If we don't help today, that person, as Tita said, may not be around tomorrow. We need your help. We need your help to take Jesus and his life-transforming message and his power to a community that desperately needs him into La Limonada. And a couple opportunities, some ways to get involved. One is most importantly, to pray. Pray for the protection of the team there. Pray for God to use them in powerful ways and for his light to shine through the darkness. Another way to get involved is to visit on a service learning trip. I know that that the village is going to be considering some trips down to Guatemala. We'd invite you to come by for a day or for more to spend some time getting to see Tita and meeting the team and seeing what God is doing. But the most important way to get involved this morning I'd like to share about is sponsorship, is child sponsorship. Sponsorship is more than money. It's monthly support, but it's also about building a relationship. If we feel that there is division here among a community, sometimes one of the ways that God does that is by creating a relationship with someone that's different than us. And as we pray for that person, God also changes our heart in the process. The Limon Academy that I mentioned before is actually running over capacity. We don't have enough space. We have more kids in the afternoon than we have space for, and we actually have a separate room rented just up the street. Sponsors. We have kids that need the support, that need people to pray for them and to help them and encourage them. For the sponsored child, it provides the hot meal in the mornings. It provides vitamins, provides the personal hygiene, but also provides the team, the teacher, the psychologist. We actually have a full-time psychologist in each of our academies, a Christian mature psychologist that helps with kids that go through intense trauma and abuse living in a community like this. It's extremely important to have someone that can meet with them several times a week to have a session, help them unpack what they've experienced and seen, and then to be able to heal from that. It provides the chaplain, it provides a parenting class, provides a full-time nurse to help the family, all that in a loving environment. That's what sponsorship provides for our kids. For the person who sponsors and personal, deep relationship, the sponsor is able to write letters to their sponsored child. You get a letter back as well. The kids actually read the letters. We have translators that translate those letters, and the kids get to read them. They get to take them home. They get to respond and write back. We've got some of the sweetest pictures and letters from Candy. And we're also pioneering a new way to be able to communicate through video. So you can record a video and send it, and your sponsored child can record a video and send it back. It happens fairly quickly. So as well as you get the opportunity to pray for them. I know it sounds like a benefit for them, but having a prayer request every day, a person outside of your family, a person outside of your kids that you can pray for, even to encourage your kids to pray, it's a great way to encourage kids to be grateful for what they have, to see that God's working in other parts of the world. And then you can visit your kids as well. If you sponsor a child, we actually have once a year a sponsors trip. We got a couple of Gian and Jacob that are with me here this morning. They sponsor several kids in La Limonada, and the regulars on our sponsor trips. And so once a year, we take a group of people that sponsor kids and take them down to spend time, take them to the park, take them to lunch, hang out with their sponsored child and family for the day. All this just costs $80 a month to sponsor a child. You can actually multiply your impact by sponsoring a teacher or a staff person for $100 a month. Yali, as I said before, Yali does not have a sponsor, anyone sponsoring her. So if God's moving your heart today to sponsor a staff member, she would be the one I would encourage you to sponsor. Like I said, it's $100 a month for staff people. And if $80 is too much, you can also split sponsorship with another family. You can share it. So for $40 a month between two families, you're like, well, we don't quite have 80, but we could do 40. Find another family in the village, say, let's do this together. And you can, as two families, you can sponsor a child. So again, I don't want you to do this because I'm telling you to, or because you feel pity, or because you feel bad if you don't. I want you to do this because this is what God's put in your heart. So take some time to pray about this. We can swing by the sponsorship table after the gathering here, and we'll be happy to talk and hang out. You can look us up on the internet and check out our website. But I'll be back here with Yoli's card and with sponsorship cards for kids from Limon, and we hope that you can jump in. Thanks.
Thanks for that, man. My notes are gone. I'm losing my mind. So here's what I want you to know. A couple things. It's so easy to hear that stuff, or for us to say, oh, there's this church in whatever, and hear a story and know, like, okay, like, you know Zach Pike, so you know that you can make videos look like anything you want, right? But the reality is, like, the beauty of these opportunities are, one, they're in an area that's rather close together, and the second thing is there's no shade on, like, global initiatives that kind of filter out through many different cities around the world. But the beauty of both of these opportunities are that, gosh, legitimately, real people, real community, you'll get to see and meet those people, like, quite possibly. Even in all the stuff that Chow shared, I mean, in my mind, I just want to let you know, like, Jackie Bouvet, we plant churches, we establish and strengthen local churches, and that's true. And so you can even ask Chow that late at night, like over coffee, we're literally chatting with him, and I'm like, we're trying to like poke holes in what they're doing, right? Is that fair, Chow? Like, yeah, it's cool that you're doing that, but like, for real, like, what are you doing? But then as we kind of got our eyes opened a little bit to see, here's the thing, Tita, the one that you met on there that started all that stuff, she started going into this area, and her church said, like, when we look at, like, yeah, but is there one of these? Is there one of these there, Chow? Like, where are these? What church are they a part of? And it doesn't look like that. But look, you know me. It is the local church with hands and feet proclaiming the liberty and the light of Christ to dark and broken places. And so you know, I hope that you know, that we wouldn't give Chow 15 minutes on the stage if we didn't believe in what they're doing. And that's the truth, brother. So I'm thankful for you. Thankful for all that stuff. Here's the reality. One day, we will get to be a part of one heck of a family reunion. Right? With God forever and with his people forever. And we function as a church, gathered and scattered, as a gospel-formed church community sent on God's mission here in this city, but in an effort to contribute to this glorious scene that we saw today, we want to get to know some of our family from around the world. That's what kind of the Global Go initiative for us is. We want to learn from, which we did while we were there, and we want to invest in through the resources that God's given us. And so, what does that mean for us? Like, how are we doing this? How can you jump in? And I want you to be clear, like, we're realists. We know that we're not a mega church. We're very mindful of who you are and where we are. But we believe that God would delight to continue to shape us by allowing us to engage in some of these opportunities. And so for us, this is what we're doing. We want you to give. We want you to support. And we want you to go. And we know that not everybody will do that. So we want you to give today. Sponsor any of the opportunities that you see over there, I would love to talk to you about those. All right, Chow would love to talk to you about those. Grab another family if you're inspired today. Grab your community group and just be like, "Hey, let's do this." All right, and make it happen. We would love to do that today. We would love for you to support, and certainly we talked about prayer and what that looks like. But also, we want to make sure that these partnerships are spotlighted here, so that we know what God is doing there. And we know that those people know that we love and care for them. So man, we want you to pray. We want you to help administratively. We want you to help be a bridge to make these partnerships come to life. And for some of you, man, we want you to get your shots. We want you to get your passport, and we want you to hop on a plane and go. And so our desire right now, I chatted with Mitch, whom you saw in the first video. We talked about the end of March, potentially, going back down and hanging in the village and getting to connect with some of those people. And so on June 9th, that's in 2 weeks, we're having a huddle after gathering. If you're interested in all, we would love for you to come and hang out at that for more information. We can't do any of this if Jesus didn't come and first rescue us. And so what we get to do now is we get to respond to that. We get to take communion. We get to respond to the body that was broken for us and the blood that was shed for us. And this is for God's people. We get to remember and declare this good news. We get to respond through singing. We can stand up and sing right where you are if you would like to pray. There's a prayer bench over there. I'll be back by that red tree. There will be another few over by that red tree as the Spirit prompts you to get going and figure out what it looks like for you to engage in building His kingdom. Father, we thank you for this goodness. We thank you for the opportunities in the area around Guatemala City. We know that there's just so much more to say and so much more to share. But today, would you just let us delight in who you are? Would you let us sing joyfully? God, would you let us respond in a way that makes a difference and that means this thing? Amen.